From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Most children around Illinois are officially back in school. After spending a lot of time on Zoom and being forced to juggle hybrid learning, many kids are heading back to in-person schooling with lingering questions and, in some cases, lasting mental health challenges. Throughout the past year and a half, children and adolescents have had to leave behind a lot of activities that make being a kid, like clubs and sports and after-school jobs. The closing of major hangout spaces like parks and restaurants also left young people with few places to spend their free time. This lack of access to safe places and a healthy social life has taken a toll. We've seen an uptick in rates of suicide and self-harm, as well as stress, anxiety, and trauma in children and young adults. We've talked about the struggles of parents, educators, and after-school providers, but how are our children and teens themselves doing? How are they holding up in this difficult situation? To talk about this, we're joined now by Dr. Cynthia Lubin-Langtu, professor in the Department of Clinical Psychology at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Dr. Langtu, always great to talk with you. Welcome back to The 21st.
Thanks for having me back. Great to be here for this important conversation.
We also have Dr. Colleen Concetti, Executive Director of the Center for Childhood Resilience and a clinical psychologist at the Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago. Dr. Concetti, welcome to you as well.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Also joining us is Dr. Jyothi Kolaje, a Rockford School psychologist and regional director for Region 2 of the Illinois School Psychologists Association. Dr. Kolaje, welcome to the program. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, just want to be clear, I mentioned this in the intro, but we are going to be talking about mental health and some sensitive topics, including suicide. It may not be suitable for all ears. And then before we go on, I do want to mention that if you or someone you know needs to speak with someone, the number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. You can call or text that number for free 24/7. Again, that's 800-273-8255. And listeners, as ever, we do want to invite you to join our conversation, especially if you have a child anywhere ages kindergarten through high school. Our lines are open for you now at 800-222-9455. We want to know how are they readjusting, especially if this is their first time back to in-person schooling in more than a year. How's that going? And we can also take questions for our guests. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. So I'm going to begin with Dr. Cicchetti. Maybe you can tell it, and I'm sorry, I think I mispronounced your name earlier, but can you tell us a bit more about the mental health challenges we're seeing most commonly in children since the pandemic and also adolescents?
Absolutely. Yes, we are unfortunately hearing about a lot of concerns. What we know is that through lots of different surveys, we're hearing from parents, teachers, and kids themselves that they are feeling incredibly anxious. I think that what we've seen a lot of is concerns around social isolation and how that's playing out, whether that's with kids feeling more anxious, kids feeling more depressed, not being able to engage in the activities that they're used to. And we also certainly have seen kids who are experiencing trauma, and you know, different kids have experienced different levels of exposure to trauma. So we're really trying to help people understand how to make sense out of what they're seeing and what kids are experiencing and what the best response would be.
Dr. Kolaje, as a school psychologist, I wonder what has the adjustment been like? And I know the students in Rockford are not quite back in school yet, but I mean, I imagine you've talked with some young people in the past year. What is this adjustment? You know, what are people expecting as they're going back to in-person schooling?
Well, I think that the first priority for school staff for children is to make sure that they feel safe when they come in. And that's why the mask mandate and the other mandates that Prince Fair had put into place were so important for our staff and our students. what children experienced within this past year, I mean, definitely what Ms. Dr. Cecchetti had said, that we are in this desire to get past this pandemic and have this return to normal. But, you know, here we go, gearing up for another year. All we can do is really try to provide the most support we can, open as many opportunities for activities and organizations in the schools, with more protective measures and safety measures. And also making sure that parents know that things are available for their students as well. When there are concerns for mental health needs, there are resources in the community as well as inside the schools.
Dr. Lang, too, I mean, speaking of parents there, when we talk about children, of course, we have to talk about their parents. And a lot of adults are hitting, you know, what would you say, that threshold for mental illness? They're struggling themselves socially, financially. How does that affect children?
Yeah, I really appreciate that question. And this one's a double-edged sword. I think that children take their cues from us as parents. And so it's really important that we're taking extra great care of ourselves, because they vibe off of our energy, if you will. And I say it's a double-edged sword because this is not to make parents who are already struggling feel guilty about not feeling great, but it's an extra encouragement to take really good care. I think it's also, it has to be okay to struggle. And I think it's also an opportunity, right, to demonstrate to our youth how we employ our resources and strategies to cope. So let them know that when we're taking a long walk with friends, that when we're exercising, when we're meditating, when we're praying, when we're doing whatever it is to really shore ourselves up, that that's part of the way that we're taking care of ourselves, because we're having a hard time. And so what we're teaching them is it's okay to have a hard time. We're normalizing that, but we're also demonstrating to them that we can all shore up our resources and they can as well. And we can model for them what they can do when they're having a hard time, noticing it and then seeking support through it.
Listeners, I want to take a moment to reintroduce our guests and invite you to join our conversation. We're speaking about young people and mental health in this back to school season, as students are going back to school in person for the first time in many cases in more than a year. We're speaking with, as you just heard there, Dr. Cynthia Lubin-Langtu from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, Dr. Colleen Cecchetti, who's director of the Center for Childhood Resilience and a clinical psychologist at the Lurie Children's Hospital, and Dr. Jyothi Kolajay, who's Rockford School Psychologist and a regional director at the Illinois School Psychologists Association. As ever, if you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Dr. Cecchetti, we know that children under 12 are not yet eligible for the vaccine, and the Delta variant, we have learned, is said to be highly transmissible. Are we hearing concerns from young children about themselves, you know, from themselves? Are they concerned about getting the virus? And how can parents help quell some of these concerns?
Absolutely. I think exactly what Cynthia just said a minute ago, that we know that kids take their cues from parents. And so it's really important, as parents are trying to sort through all of this uncertainty, that they kind of look for those answers for themselves and try the best they can to deliver a pretty clear, coherent message to their children that the adults are doing everything that we can do to keep them safe. We know that kids need to have that protective shield to know, especially the younger ones, to know that the adults are doing everything we can to protect them. And just like Jyothi said as well, safety, coming back into school and believing school is a safe place where the adults are doing what they need to keep you safe is really important. And we're going to see that manifest itself through things like reestablishing those relationships and those routines. So we really want kids back in school so that they can start to feel that sense of stability again. And so what I ask parents to do and recommend is really trying to sort out what their concerns are, get information, go to resources you really trust, like your own pediatrician or the Academy of Pediatrics, find out what the experts are saying, and then decide what is the level that your kid needs to understand this, and try to answer their questions rather than giving them a bunch of information. Asking them, what are they worried about? When do they get nervous at school? what are the times that they're concerned? It may be something simple like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do when I eat my lunch. And so talking about what is the lunchroom plan, and let's give a call to the school and make sure we understand how everyone's going to be safe in the lunchroom, right? Or if they're not going to the lunchroom, they're eating in their classrooms. So sometimes we get this notion that kids are worried about what we're worried, and we try to explain it at a much higher level than they can understand. If you start with where they are and ask them what their concerns and fears are and try to address those in the best way you can. And if you don't have the answer, it's okay to say, you know, I don't know that. Mom doesn't have that answer, but let's go find some people who we can get the answer for, or let's try to sort through together what is going on in your building to keep you safe. And that kind of open dialogue, so kids know that if they have a concern, they can bring it, will lead to hopefully a lot less anxiety and a lot less manifestation of what we might see as sort of school avoidance or stomach aches or headaches or kids not wanting to be leaving the family because they're concerned about the safety of themselves or their parents and family back at home.
Interesting. Dr. Kolajay, there's been a lot of talk about students being behind academically after this year of virtual education in a lot of cases. How do we approach this idea of catching up students academically while also prioritizing mental health?
Well, the thing is we're all in the same place together. So that is a good place to start from. All of us, all the students have missed a year and a half of school. And so it's really about working from one place to the next and taking one day at a time, as Colleen has said. And the thing is, our social emotional learning platform, a part of our curricula in our schools, are taking the front line on how teachers are working with their students. And counselors, social workers, school staff, we're all available to help support students. And so it's really a team effort. What we're doing to prepare is to make sure that problem solving is going to be available to respond to students that have more needs. And we'll be able to arrange what we need to support individual students separately. All students are going to respond differently. And so some actually may be flourishing through more of these remote opportunities while others are struggling, just like adults. Some of us are doing okay or doing very well. We're all responding to the trauma from the pandemic and the police violence and what's going on in our society differently. And so we all just kind of have to work from one step to the next.
You know, Brian, I'd like to just weigh in here because I think somehow people are also feeling like everyone has experienced trauma. And as someone who spent a lot of time thinking about trauma and how it impacts kids, I really want to highlight that actually everyone's experienced stress. Everyone's had at least their sort of normal patterns disrupted, at least the things that they used to love to do and their connections and the normal rituals have been disrupted. So there's been a stress that has been a shared experience. But there are children for whom that stress has crossed over to toxic levels of stress. And those are kids for whom they've been experiencing food and housing insecurity or increase in domestic violence and substance abuse and that chronic violence that we're seeing escalating in our cities. And so that's toxic levels of stress. And then there's a subgroup of kids who really have experienced trauma. And those are those kids who've experienced a loss without, you know, the normal rituals to say goodbye. They might have been sudden, unexpected due to violence or the illness. And so part of what we're working with educators and mental health professionals and pediatricians across the state to say is, how do you understand what each of your students is experiencing, provide some universal support to all, but then look for those kids who are hurting more and connect those to the kinds of resources that Jyothi was just talking about in terms of those school personnel or community resources. So we're sort of looking to the adults to look for the universal experience, but also the universal resilience that kids bring, but look for those kids who aren't kind of adjusting back and aren't showing that they're able to bounce back to their normal level of functioning, but instead need that extra support, whether that be academic or emotional. So I think it's really important that we not over-pathologize what we're all going through as well. There's been a lot of stress, but there are kids who really are hurting, and that's who need to be our number one priorities, because those are the kids that are going to need those supports in order to get back on track and to thrive and be successful in their school and home settings.
Okay, we need to take a break here. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. We are speaking about children returning to school and the range, as we've been hearing, the range of emotions and mental health challenges some are dealing with, ranging from just sort of ordinary stress to, as we just heard, sometimes toxic levels of stress that go from hunger and the loss of family members to even in some cases violence, which has been on the rise in too many areas. We're speaking with Dr. Colleen Cicchetti, who's with the Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, director of the Center for Childhood Resilience there. Also, Dr. Cynthia Lubin-Langtoo, who's a professor at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, and Dr. Jyothi Kolajay, who is a school psychologist in Rockford and a regional director with the Illinois School Psychologists Association. If you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you're willing to share a story of a child in your life who has maybe been struggling with this transition back to school, 800-222-9455. If you just have a question for our guests. This conversation will continue after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about back to school and the stresses and in some cases mental health challenges being experienced by a lot of children who are going back to school for the first time in more than a year, at least in-person school, I should say. We're speaking with Dr. Jyothi Kolajay, who's a school psychologist in Rockford, Dr. Colleen Cicchetti, who's with the Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, director of the Center for Childhood Resilience there, and professor and Dr. Cynthia Lubin-Langtoo from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. If you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. And Dr. Langtoo, I want to begin with you after the break here. Before we broke, Dr. Cicchetti was talking about the risks of over-pathologizing children who are just experiencing stress. Can you maybe build on that a little bit and talk about some of the perils of that possibly? And how does a parent know this is just ordinary stress my child is experiencing versus this is something more serious that we might want to seek some professional help for?
Right. Thank you so much. I think that Colleen's points were so well taken that we're all experiencing unprecedented stress, but that for some youth, it's more significant and that we really do need to, focus our resources in those places. I think that one of the things about this time that's been something that I've appreciated is that it's normalized that there are everyone is experiencing a great amount of stress. And so I think it opens up space for parents to have conversations about well-being and mental health and emotional health and all of those pieces. I would say in terms of what to notice, right? Pay attention to significant shifts in the functions of life, right? So if your youth is sleeping more, eating more, moving less, right? Or any changes around those. Often also if they seem disconnected from friends, which is a tough one to figure out at this time because last year and a half they've been disconnected in certain ways from friends, but if they really don't want to reconnect with some of their friends or don't want to make new friends, I think that's something else to pay attention to. And of course their mood, right? If they seem consistently very sad or irritable, I would say it's time to sit down and have a conversation with them about what resources that they might need to help them to move back to their optimal self and to help them identify what that even means. How do they want to feel? Is this how they want to feel? And if it's not, what can you as a parent do to help support them moving towards how they want to feel in their life?
Dr. Kolajay, I wonder if you can talk about, you've been doing the school psychologist, the work of a school psychologist for years. How is this year different? How are preparations different, both among, you and your colleagues in who are school psychologists, as well as just teachers in trying to prepare for what's ahead or if they've already done it, for opening school back up?
Well, there's been a lot of professional development this past summer, as well as having professional development available to educators. You know, our school district really approaches that sensitively and systematically with our institute days. We have things that are planned on making sure that we're able to have a level of cultural humility with all of the things that our students are experiencing right now. There is quite a bit more social emotional support available, I think, within our schools now than even within the last school year. We're constantly increasing what we have available and making sure parents are acutely aware of what is available. For our secondary students, our counselors at middle school and high schools, they're our best line of defense after the teachers in the classrooms. And if there are more supports that are going to be needed with problem solving, that's actually also being increased in its intensity of being able to support students. We have more interventions available for our students, social, emotional, and academic. So we're doing a lot of different things to help support our students coming in, but I think individually, as Colleen has mentioned before, we're all experiencing trauma. So I think trying to help ourselves, I think that's been part of the process of what we're doing to prepare to help our students better.
Dr. Cicchetti, I've been asking this question of people all year. I wonder if you have a sense or what your view is of potential long-term effects of either the stress or in some cases, obviously mental health is a more severe manifestation, but just the level of stress that everybody is dealing with. Do you have a sense of how that will affect people who are children today later in life?
It's such a great question, and I think we're all thinking about it because that will help us align our resources both immediately and in the long range. I think what you just heard, which is the adults recognizing the impact on them, is the first step. So really thinking about the adults and how does one support the adults to be healthy and to be confident that their kids are safe so that the kids can move forward. I think, like I mentioned before, it's really going to depend on the access to the supports that kids have to move forward. So for, like Cynthia said, some kids have done pretty well at home. They've been connected to their family. They've had an increase in support at home. And so now they're transitioning back into schools. So I think what Jyoti said around how do we support the whole system of the ecosystem, really, of education and communities to support one another is going to be ultimately the answer here. And if we can do that, I think we can move things forward. What I've said as a COVID keep, or perhaps a silver lining, is that we are talking about mental health and building systems to support kids' mental health that have been long needed in our state. And now we're seeing an urgency and an awareness that we haven't seen before. So my hope is that the openness that we have, where adults are acknowledging that they use coping strategies every day and that kids can learn strategies and that there are supports out there when you're struggling, will be a game changer, and that we'll be able to get more kids connected, learn those skills, like Jyoti said, that are part of social emotional learning curriculums, and identify the kids who need more so that we can actually change the trajectory. And my hope and belief, and maybe this is how I can do this work, is that if we do that, we're actually not going to see a lot of long-term outcome. We're going to see kids getting the help they need because we're going to have a system that addresses kids' mental health that really is reflective of the needs rather than a system that's been putting band-aids and not been adequate for for decades, frankly.
And Colleen, just to add to that, and the other great piece is that hopefully within this process, we're going to change the attitude our society feels towards mental health. You know, working with Winnebago and Boone County's Youth Mental Health System of Care, we're trying to do in this region is try to increase the number of channels and availability to resources for our parents and community members. And hopefully that will also help support our students better in their surroundings as well.
Yes, and we're hearing from educators and parents alike. We created a website for some training for teachers and had over 5,000 educators across the entire state log on saying, please help me help my students. So there's an interest. So if we can work together, we can meet that interest and build the capacity for adults to promote kids' mental health and wellness.
Yeah.
Dr. Langtu, I think maybe the last question of this conversation I'm going to put to you, which is routines are really important for children. And yet this is a time of a lot of uncertainty. We've seen routines upended for the last year and a half. And even now, as children are back in school, some schools are having to go on quarantine status because of positive cases. Do you have any thoughts, suggestions on building routines even when we're living in uncertain times?
Yes, and I think that perhaps especially when we're living in uncertain times, that having routines can be so helpful. And so one thing I would say is establishing logistical routines. You know, for the last 2 days, I've been getting my youth out of the home and making sure that everything's written down, right? And then also the contingency plans for when things go awry, making sure that there's a sense of what to do there. I would say making sure that we're including our youth in coming up with the logistical plans for what happens in the morning in particular, even after school and those pieces, that there's a negotiation. So I think establishing the logistical routines can help to really settle all of us, but centering our youth during uncertain times and more certain times as well. Another piece that I would say is to focus on establishing fun and peaceful routines, right? So in our family, no matter how late we're running, and we ran late sometimes, as I'm sure other folks do too, we pause before my youth leave the car, and we say a quick prayer, and we put our arms in the hands in the middle, and we take 3 deep breaths together. So that, like, I like sending them into school knowing that at least for a brief moment, they were settled and regulated and were able to move forward. So I would say establish logistical routines. It helps in uncertain times, but establish fun routines as well. And know that we can take that into the future as a resource as well.
I love it. A moment of Zen before school. All right. Dr. Cynthia Lubin-Langtu is with the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. We've also been speaking with Dr. Jyothi Kolaje, a school psychologist and in Rockford, and Dr. Colleen Cicchetti, who is Executive Director of the Center for Childhood Resilience and a clinical psychologist at the Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago. Dr. Langtu, Dr. Cicchetti, Dr. Kolaje, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you for addressing this topic.
Thank you for having us. I'm hoping that we can destigmatize this a little bit more.
Thank you.
All right. More to come in just a moment.